You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts because they all provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are real hits, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. I am the guest on this one. This is a episode from Dustin Starling's It Ain't Easy, But It's Worth It. It Ain't Easy, But It's Worth It with Dustin Starling, great friend of mine. And this is entitled One Man Marketing Army. I encourage you to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to It Ain't Easy, But It's Worth It. Oh yeah, if you would like to submit your podcast to be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or you can email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Enjoy the show, guys.
It seems like everyone today is in digital marketing.
Hey everyone, Jason here, digital marketing consultant, and quick question.
Hey guys, Adam here. And in this video, I'm going to help you become a better digital marketer.
And I've helped more than 3,000 people from all around the world.
My system is the best. The other guys are wrong. Just buy my training course and you'll be rich overnight.
And in this video, I'm going to go over what the best online marketing courses are.
A step-by-step system.
And then I finally developed a system.
Pretty easy to do.
So why would anyone want to jump in and swim in this red ocean?
So in this all-inclusive tutorial channel, my name is Nate. And in this tutorial, I'm going to be showing you step-by-step.
Ben Albert, founder of Balbert Marketing, walks us through why he chose to revolutionize this crowded market space into something more personal. Why this one-man marketing army is truly different from all the static and noise you see on social media today. Ben shares with us how making the leap into business ownership during a pandemic, well,
I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
It ain't easy, but it's worth it. Here we go. Hey everyone, today I've got my good friend Ben Albert on the call today. He's the CEO and founder of Balbert Marketing. He's also the founder of the Rochester Business Connections Network. He's hosting many podcasts as well. And by the way, he can also grow an amazing beard. Ben, welcome to the show. Just tell everybody what I got wrong and why they should listen today.
I don't think I can grow a beard. I think the beard's just growing on me. It takes zero work.
Looks good, but yeah.
Dude, I'm just excited to be here with you. And honestly, man, I ask questions for a living. As a podcast host, I ask questions for a living. So it's cool to have the, you know, script flipped and be on the end of it, the other end of the mic today. So
that's awesome. You know, again, so I mean, again, you've got your hands in many different things. And so I guess one of the questions I would just love to ask to kind of kick things off is the online marketing thing, and marketing in general is such a red space. I mean, so how do you differentiate yourself from all the other marketers out there? What makes Balbert different in your mind than everything else?
I think the biggest thing that makes Balbert different is it's me. There's not five departments where you call up and then you get an operator and then you get the first rep that can pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know, the one of my brands is One Man Marketing Army.
Yeah.
And that's the concept there, that I'm your one-man marketing army, that I'm there for you 24/7. You can text me, you can reach out, and I'm reading every morning, I'm reading every night, right. I'm interviewing people on podcasts, I'm doing personal development, and I'm your guy that everything that I'm working on, as I grow, I want to grab my client by the hand and let them grow with me. I want to take them with me. I want to be successful together. Mm-hmm. And again, it's me, brother. Like, there's not five different people on the same account. So at the end of the day, if there's no alignment and me and the client, we don't even work together, because it's finding the people that you work best with and treating things holistically and being hands-on. And, you know, without getting too deep into it, it's based on what the client needs and whether I can serve them properly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, so for everybody who is actually watching the video portion of this, the intro into it was done by Ben. Fantastic work, brother. I know you and I, like I said, you definitely held my hand, like you said. And, you know, just what a joy it was to work with you on a personal level, and just get to know how you work and how, and I really felt like there was a lot of knowledge. And just frankly, you know, you were very, gracious with your time and kind of walking me through the process. What do you feel like is, now, for people who are starting a business, for people who are in business and just need to grow, I mean, what do you feel is really missing in marketing in general, and mainly with the clients that you work with?
In marketing in general, I'd say one of the things that's missing a lot of the time is sales. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough of a blend. I think a lot of times marketing and sales are separate departments. Their message isn't always on point. And marketing's thinking pay-per-click, cost per lead, ROI, metrics. And sales is thinking close, revenue. But at the end of the day, I think that a sales rep should be marketing themselves, branding themselves, building a relationship, social selling, ultimately marketing themselves. A sales rep shouldn't just be picking the phone and closing a marketing deal. I think that sales reps should be marketing. And I think that marketers need to not be so focused on just analytics. They need to focus on the person-to-person relationship and the sales aspect of, if I ran a large business, I would want anyone who picked up the phone to be able to market and sell the product so the customer gets the best service possible. And I hate that there's often a divide.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see, having been in sales and still in sales now, yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like, you know, marketing and sales will always be against each other, because number one, you know, if I'm, from a sales standpoint, marketing never gives me the right material. They never give me the stuff that the clients really want. If I'm in marketing, sales just has no idea how to use the stuff I've given them, you know? So I really feel like that is what it is. I mean, there will always be that divide, because they're always looking at it from different angles. Like you said, the analytics side from the marketing, and then the sales, they just want to close, you know? And so I think, you know, when you look at that piece there and look at different business and your clients that you work with, I mean, you as a business owner yourself, I mean, how have you been able to transition into that marketing, also sales role, you know, as a CEO and founder of your business, as Balbert?
It's interesting, because it kind of just happened natural for me. I'm an anomaly. I do things very different than other people, and that's why I really didn't fit in the corporate world very well. Yeah. But I was a sales executive for a marketing company, so I understood sales. But I was obsessed with learning, so I learned exactly what was going on behind the scenes. So I knew, and I was empowered to sell the right product, and I knew what I was talking about. So I had this blend of marketing and sales already, and I was a podcast kid. I had been listening to podcasts since 2015. Mm-hmm. I started a music podcast in 2016, and I knew the value of, for me, learning from other people and promoting them. It's a two-way street where I get to learn from someone on a podcast. I get to learn from them, but I also get to promote them and edify them and make them look good and give recommendations and introduce them to people. So it's a win-win street. So I took being a sales exec for a marketing company. Mm-hmm. Then I took podcasting, which is one-to-one relationship building, one-to-one conversations, knowledge, mentorship, power. I took all this and I just smushed it together, and I fell forward very crazily. I fell on my face a lot, but since I continued to fall forward, man, I would call myself lucky that all these previous experiences created a blend that I could be a marketing company, but I could be a sales rep who's empowered to drive revenue. That's a big thing. Again, you need to be empowered to drive revenue, because at the end of the day, if you can't pay the bills, you don't have a company, you don't have a business, your business that you work for goes under. So being empowered to market yourself, being empowered to drive revenue, but doing it the right way by having one-to-one conversations with kick butt people that you care about, that they care about you, mutually beneficial. I don't even know the question, but this is just my philosophy on everything in life, Dustin.
No, and I agree. I mean, I feel like, you know, again, I'm a new business owner. I mean, whoever that person is, and a lot of times when I'm working with a small business owner now who's been in business for about 3 years and really has just seen hockey stick growth. And literally just sitting down, he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing, Dustin. Like, I have no idea. I just know how to make and sell a great product. And he's doing really good at it. But again, I think when you put on that CEO, a lot of times it's that chief everything officer. It's the marketing. It's the sales. It's the branding. It's the production. It's the image service. It's everything. And a lot of times I feel like people are held back by their, okay, I don't say like lack of knowledge, but just it is a very tough topic to get into. And so, you know, that led you into also teaching. I mean, you've also like, you know, I mean, one of your other titles is professor and adjunct. So you're doing teaching. I mean, what do you feel like the younger generations are they on board with podcasting? Is it just the older crowds? I mean, really, what is podcasting for and how can it be used in today's market?
So a couple of things I want to address. First off, kids love podcasting. They love that they can speak there. I taught only for 1 year ultimately at a charter school for high school students. And virtually we did podcasting. We started a podcast. I had two classes. The one class, we did a different topic every day. The other class, they were gaming nerds. So we just talked gaming for the whole session. But they loved that they could speak their voice, speak their truth, that people weren't judging them or labeling them or censoring them. I love young people getting into podcasting because with TikTok and a very low attention span world, I love the long form conversation. I think there's always a place for it. And I love that students, high school students, are willing to dive deep and have a 10, 20, 30 minute long podcast. Yeah. I also want to address, I wouldn't consider myself a teacher. To give you just a little bit of background here is I started my business officially in August of last year, and I had zero clients. I had no clients. I had to not compete. I didn't have a book of business. It's not like I took a book of business with me. So I'm starting from scratch. And by, I don't know if I can call it God or luck or fate or what it is, but I start my business in August, and in September, the school basically found my podcast online. They found me because, you know, I know marketing. I came up first online to toot my own horn, came up first for podcasts in Rochester. They were a Rochester charter school. They said, hey, we want to offer podcasting as an elective at our school. Do you want to teach it? And I'm like, I don't have a job. So yeah. So if it fell into place, man, and that's not, it doesn't always work that way, but I made the decision to sign up for an LLC. I was open-minded to say yes, and then the opportunities just kind of fell in my lap. And nowadays, man, it's determining what to say yes to and what to say no to. Right. But I'm not an educator, man. They just asked me, I said yes, and it was an incredible experience, so I'd do it again.
Well, I mean, I think when you look at most great people, I mean, I think a lot of time, you know, it's they're just good at it. And because they're good at it, you know, then now they can kind of teach. And I think that a lot of times, like I said, they found you because of your marketing skills top on the list. So it makes sense to go person who is first out of how many podcasts are out there, you know, first in their area that, okay, this makes sense to reach out to Ben and find out what he's doing. So do you think, you know, when you started this thing, do you feel like it was mainly my back's against the wall? I have no clients. So there was that pain point where my best, I just have to make this work. Or do you feel it was mainly, this is something that I'm really passionate about. And that's how you've grown over the past year. I mean, if you had to put something in those two buckets, was it back against the wall, I have to make this work, or really, this is something I'm really passionate about and that's why I'm successful?
It's a little bit of both. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. When COVID hit, I'm furloughed from work. They did ask me to come back, but I told them no because soul searching wasn't a good spot. I don't have to get into it, but I was in a bad place, brother. Like, I was drinking too much. I was hiking all the time, but honestly, it was great for me, but it was an escape, right? Like, I was unemployed. I was drinking too much. I was escaping my problems, but I was doing some soul searching, and I kind of on a whim started this business the moment I got a client. Basically, I got a client, wanted help, started a business. So I would say I was just kind of a mess. Like my back wasn't even just again. I didn't even know where I was going. But what I figured out quite quickly through working through with my first client, through getting this offer to, you know, teach podcasting, which was giving me enough that I like, okay, I have something to work off of. The passion grew. Like, I wasn't like, I'm so passionate about this that I'm going to quit my job and do it. I more got furloughed from work, started binge drinking, and then found my passion by chance, man. Like, literally by chance. I was like, I freaking love this. I love this. If I want to go hiking, I will, because I'm a business owner and I can take a day off. Right. And I love, you know this because you're a sales guy and you're a business owner. You like to have that autonomy to go out and get it for yourself.
Right.
And so, yeah, man, I think it's a balance of both. Like your podcast said, it wasn't easy, but I'm really happy that I did it because it was worth it, man.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, you bring some great points there. And again, I mean, I think the autonomy and just being able to take that break, right? Take that hike if you need to, I think speaks a lot to just entrepreneurs, you know, just people who, and I think the other thing too is that, I mean, I love the fact that my success depends on how well I do, right? I mean, I don't have to worry about, you know, in a previous life, my employees, they drove trucks. And so, you know, if the Jets won, which was basically never, you know, who was calling out on Monday, you know, because they won, or, you know, did they get a ticket? I mean, so dealing with those things, I really enjoyed the fact of my success depends on me and how much I can produce, you know, not just for myself, but for my clients as well. And so, you know, I think when you're looking at those different things and looking at how, you know, you have really started a business really pretty recently and grown very rapidly. I mean, how do you define success? I mean, a little bit over a year in, are you successful? How do you gauge that? I mean, what to you is the indicator that I'm doing right, I'm successful, this is where I need to be?
I try to put things into context, Dustin. So the person I was a year from today versus now, I am a success. Like, massively reduced this drinking issue, massively gained momentum and vision and clarity on what I want to do in my life. I am so much more successful than I was a year ago. Mm-hmm. But a year from now, I'm probably going to say the exact same thing. So I think success is really based on your perception. Yep. Am I creating forward progress. Like, I hit the gym this morning. Mm-hmm. I got stuff done, got some writing down this morning. I had a successful morning. It's going to be a successful day. This podcast is going to go great. So it's the forward progress. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to look at my revenue, I basically replaced my previous job's income in a year. So that's a success. Mm-hmm. But a year from now, I'm going to think, oh, that was just, you know, a stepping stone, right? So yes, I'm successful now, but that doesn't mean that I'm not still moving up that ladder and I'm going to be more successful in the future. How do I determine it, man? I just determine it day by day. Am I making progress? I do have goals, but I'm less goal-oriented. I'm daily-oriented, and that's just my philosophy personally.
Well, you know, I think too, I mean, I think you bring a good point there. And that is, a lot of times I look at these big, you know, I want to be at X revenue. I want to grow by 15, 20%. I want to do all these things. And a lot of times the time frame is so big that most people don't even benchmark, right? Like, I want to grow by 10% this year, whatever that number is, doesn't matter. You know, but then the problem is, like, what are you doing on a daily basis to ensure you hit those weekly goals, to hit those monthly goals, hit those quarterly goals? Because if you do those, you're going to hit your yearly goal and a lot more, you know? So I'm going to butcher this quote, but, you know, I think Tony Robbins said, you know, a lot of people underestimate what they can do in 5 years, you know, but grossly overestimate what they can do in a year. So, I mean, I think a lot of times here's the big goal, and I almost limit myself and limit my growth because I could do so much more, you know, if I kind of track those daily, weekly things. So I guess for you moving forward, like you said, I mean, next year you'll say the same thing. It's going to be that daily improvements. So What are two or three couple of things that's really you feel is kind of holding you back from that exponential growth?
Something that I think holds a lot of people back, and it's currently I'm a solopreneur. I do have partnerships, so I can make referrals to the right people. I do have freelancer work with regularly, but I have zero employees. Yeah. And I know for a fact that I can live a good life with autonomy and flexibility as a one-man show with partnerships. But if I want to build an empire, if I want to build something big, if I want to affect thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of lives, it can't just be Ben. Yep. So what's holding me back is stuff that honestly I'm probably going to have to hire a business coach or a mentor. But how do I hire? How do I scale? How do I train? Do I need an intern? how do I take some of the workload and not be so obsessed with it that I can give it to someone else? I think these are common issues for business owners, but I'm starting to realize more. I have two decisions. Either be cushy and enjoy the autonomy of just being my own boss, or make more money and affect more people and change more lives if I scale. But how the heck do I scale? I'm open to advice for anybody listening. I don't have an answer to that one.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, I mean, I think, yeah, a lot of times you have to look at it in regards to, okay, you know, how much time and how much worth do I put on every hour? You know, I mean, so you could spend, you know, hours doing editing. You could do hours of this work and that work. Is it cheaper and is it more productive? Can you reach more people if you hire on a part-time or bring in an intern or something like that for the summer? I mean, where that case may be. And again, I think those are a lot of questions that, you know, frankly, a lot of small businesses are asking themselves. You know, at what point do I bring on a 1099? What point do I bring on a part-time or a full-time employee? And so, you know, I think when you're working with your clients and as you continue to grow, I mean, what is something that you wish all your clients and all the businesses out there knew about marketing, and what are they getting wrong?
Ooh, something I want everyone to know about marketing, I would say that you shouldn't just throw money at the wall and hope that something sticks. I don't think unless you have a very large budget, you can't just pay someone to solve all your problems. A lot of business owners, and reasonably so, they've got so much workload. They work inside their business, but they don't work on their business as much as I think that they should. Now, granted, they have a massive workload. Even if it's a half hour to an hour a week, to get on social media, reply to your comments, comment on other people's pages, make a phone call and check in with people, give gifts to clients, give gifts, wish someone a happy birthday, send them a Christmas letter. This is all sales and marketing. This is marketing, but don't just pay someone to pretend to be you, because unless you have a massive budget, which honestly, if you have a 10 to 20 plus $1,000 a year budget, you can hire someone to imitate you and they'll do a decent job. But I think people should be, even if it's 30 minutes a week, work on your business, market yourself, be the face. You don't have to be the face. Hire somebody or have someone who works for you be the face, but work on your business, not just in it. People like to think they can just pay me and I'll solve all their issues. I can only do so much, and I can solve a lot of the problems, especially if there's a foundational issue. They're not showing up on Google. It's not search engine optimized. They make a bad first impression when you look them up online. Everything looks like trash. I can fix that, but there's only so much I can do. I don't want to imitate the business owner. I think the business needs to work on it themselves as well.
Yeah, I've always kind of said, like, someday I want to be the president of the company, you know, the one that shows up, you know, on Tuesdays and maybe Friday afternoons before I'm playing golf, whatever. Not necessarily the CEO of somebody who's daily in the grind of things. And you're right. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people who, if they just, I understand, but it makes sense because I need to get this paperwork done so then I could sell the client. I got to do this paperwork so I can get this product out, whatever. And it makes sense why they are working in the business, like you said. Mm-hmm. But they need to get to the point where they could outsource and they could out-task some of these things so then they could work on the business and grow. Like I said, spending 30 minutes on social media, yeah, you could look at cat videos all day long, or you could do a great thing for your brand and your business and reach out to people and reach out to clients. That's awesome. So I guess, you know, for you.
I just want to say, Dustin, it makes people nervous, but you can just pick up your phone and on Christmas, record a 30-second Christmas. On New Year's, record a 30-second New Year's video. Yeah. Do a tips and tricks video. That'll take you 30 minutes a week maximum just to have a little touch point. And again, you as the business owner or the listener doesn't have to do it. Just elect someone from the company to play a role and market yourselves. That's not going to cost you a penny to do. So you don't have to pay a penny for that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you have to think that your employees that you have they're probably not fully engaged, you know, all 40 hours a week. There's probably 30 minutes you can find, right? this has been awesome. You know, I do want to ask you for the business owners out there, for the people who are maybe looking, you know, they've got a job now, they're looking to maybe go out on their own. I mean, what are some of those feelings and the fears and the hesitation and excitement and all that stuff about going out on your own. Like I said, I mean, I know that you, you know, you kind of took this leap, zero clients. I mean, there's fear and there's uncomfort there. I mean, what are some of the things then and now that I guess the future entrepreneurs and new business owners should know?
It all starts and ends with them. I mean, that's a fact. You can have an incredible product, but if you don't go out there and get it, no one's going to find this product. And this is super case to case based on personality type and product. But at the end of the day, see yourself, even if you're an entrepreneur, like you're a salesperson with a company and you don't have as much financial risk. You got to see yourself as a business owner. You got to see yourself as a go-getter because no one's going to just hand it to you. And if someone did just hand it to you, are you resilient enough to keep what you just got? And again, this is higher level. It depends on the person, but you have to go out there and get it. I think the easiest tip is to learn a little bit about networking and go to networking meetings. So what I mean by learn a little bit about networking is don't think you can just show up, buy a couple cocktails and get business. Learn how to ask the right questions. Learn how to give. Be a giver first. Provide value. Maybe do stuff for free. Make introductions. But you need to go out there and meet people. You need to go out and get it because if you have a product or service that's incredible, all you need is a conversation to create a bridge where that person finds out about you and then they want to work with you. But that's never going to happen just working all the time or staring at the wall. You need to go out and get it. You got to meet people. And that's, again, free. You just show up to an event and you talk to people. And I think it's an important thing for people to do.
Good, good. Two last questions before. You've been very gracious with your time. I do appreciate that. Just two last questions. I guess the last one would just be the difference between business marketing and personal marketing, that personal brand. I mean, just really how – let's say I've got a great W-2 job. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stay there for 35 years. Is personal branding important for me?
100%. I think the personal brand, and again, it doesn't have to be you. It can be a member of your company that creates that brand. I think it should be you. I think everybody should create a personal brand, but that's the most important thing. Even if, let's say you're an accountant or you're, we'll just use accountant as an example. You're an accountant. You don't do sales. You show up and you protect the assets of the company. You do book work, but you're not in sales. But what happens the moment that you are a member of a charity and you're trying to raise money for that charity? What happens when a friend of yours has a loved one that's in, you know, maybe dire financial need? They have a sickness. There's an issue and you want to jump and you want to rally the troops to help support this person. What happens when you want or need anything? If you have a personal brand and you're not salesy and aggressive, you're just a giver, you're the accountant that educates other accountants, and you're kind of an influencer in that regard, you can take that personal brand and you can monetize it in any way you want in terms of just driving traffic to the fact that you're on board with this. So again, if you're in sales, if you're a business owner, you need the personal brand because you need to be a go-getter and you need to go make it happen. But even if you're not, it sure doesn't hurt to have people know, love, like, and trust you. So I think everybody, again, even if it's 30 minutes a week, spend some time on branding yourself. Spend some time on meeting people. Even if you don't plan on a career change, you never know when you'll be able to utilize that.
Absolutely. I think that that's huge. I mean, what so many great nuggets there that I know our listeners will be taking away. You know, the last question I got here is, I mean, you're doing some great work, and like you said earlier, you know, now it's getting to the point where deciding who and you know what is the right and wrong project to work on or not work on. If somebody wants to reach out to you and see if this is if Balbert is a great fit for them as a personal entrepreneur or for their business, I mean, what are the best ways to get in touch with you?
Yeah, easy. I answer every message on LinkedIn, even the ones that piss me off. I'll still respond just because, you never know how I can help someone and how they maybe could help me. So Ben Albert on LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure it's just linkedin.com/Balbert Marketing. I don't know if there's like any other letters in there, but linkedin.com/Balbert Marketing. You can email me, ben@Balbert Marketing.com. Just be Albert, B as in boy, Albert as in Albert Einstein, but with a higher intelligence. So Ben at Balbert Marketing, BalbertMarketing.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Just Google Balbert Marketing. You'll find me. I promise I'll be there.
That's great. And I will put all the links down below in the description. But, you know, hey, look, Ben, this has been a great pleasure. I know that there's been so many great nuggets that I know our listeners will take away from today. Thank you so much again for just sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and your personal story about starting from zero clients to where you're at now and just how you're going to grow in the future. Thanks so much, Ben, for sharing why it ain't easy, but it's worth it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dustin. You're going to be successful. I appreciate you taking the time, brother.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you guys later. Bye.